September 10th, 2020, 6 p.m. Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Physical Facilities Committee meeting. We have a roll call, please.
Yes. Walter?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
And Forrestal?
Here.
Okay. And see, visitors?
Kevin Argionio.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Kevin, your last name is?
Bauman.
What is spelled for?
B-A-U-M-A-N-N.
Thank you.
And we have Lisa from the library, library director. And do we have any amendments to the agenda?
Just the three items on the sheet.
So we'll also talk about the water discoloration in the library, food laws and security system, along with the Archie O'Neill update on the HVAC system that we're completed. So, any library staff comment? All right, so let's go to new business. So, library facility equipment and maintenance. So, I'll start off with you.
All right. I just wanted to, and we have completed our second visit on our contract, so therefore, contract's up. It's not auto-renewed, anything like that. So wanted to just kind of sit down and get thoughts on it. Obviously, this year, we were new to you guys. You guys are new to us. So there's always hiccups when you first start with a new customer and a new contractor. seemed like everything, for the most part, was pretty smooth, except for some invoicing stuff that we're working through, but just kind of wanted to get thoughts and kind of see if you guys had any questions, because obviously we would like to renew again with you guys this year, if possible, but obviously I want to hear what you guys had to say.
When is the contract actually on?
So we're technically not on a contract anymore, but we will not renew until the next, before the next visit, which I have to see the exact month, but it's not right now because we just did the last one in June. So 6 months from June is when the next visit will be, and that's when, in order to continue service, obviously we'll still service you and on call and whatnot. But from the PMs, unless we have a signed contract, we won't schedule another PM until we have a signed one. So January would be the next one that's due.
So what is your opinion or your guys' opinion of our system? Because it seems like the lights go out and some circuit board blows.
Yeah, and that's nothing that you guys can control or we can control. That's more of something I think ComEd really needs to get involved with and handle with you guys, because every time we have a little bit of a storm, you guys lose power. And unfortunately, with mechanical equipment, it's not as simple as turn everything back on and it works perfectly. A lot of times there's a lot more that goes into it. Sometimes you get lucky and you flip a switch and it all comes back on and your chiller comes back on, starts cooling and everything like that, but it just hasn't been the case. So I don't know if anyone from the libraries reached out to ComEd or if there's anything they can do as far as, I'm not familiar with what they do in that case, but I know there has to be something they can do as far as whether it's an auto restart or something of that nature, because, it's only costing you guys money every time your power goes out. And, I know people that are, we have other customers that are close to you guys, but they don't have those same issues. So it's just somewhere that, it must be where you're located or something, but it's just one of those things where it happens and, we can't control it at all, because there's nothing we can install that will allow your equipment to start back up.
When we built the new building, they put a transformer in behind the building here. They have been out to check the lines. Mm-hmm. I think they did find some issues and they fixed them.
Okay.
I know the city hall put in a generator. What the capacity of their generator is, I have no idea. We are which was put in, I believe it was put in after we built the building. When they put in the generator, about half of our building is on that generator.
Okay.
How that happened, I don't know.
It's a mystery.
That's a mystery, yeah.
Which I was going to bring up is, is there a way of having a battery backup of some type that is uninterruptible so that the controllers don't go down, whatever's controlling the, you know, this,
right,
the system? That, because I think that's where most of the problem is really coming from, is that you have a minor glitch, your controller goes down, mm-hmm, and then we're offline again.
Right.
And so is there a battery backup system or something that we can put in there that will just help with keeping the controller going during these glitches or these power outages?
I don't know off the top of my head, but sure, there is probably something, because that has been the major issue, is that it gets knocked off the BAS system. And then, you know, if you flip a switch, it brings power back to it, but it's not being communicated with your BAS. So that's been the major issue. I will have to I'll have to ask about that, because if that's a possibility, that may save you guys. You know, because it's, you know, like I believe I was telling you, Elisa, that whenever you have a unit that's running and then power's taken off it, whether you hit an emergency stop button or the power goes out, it's like slamming your brakes while you're going 80 miles an hour on the highway. It's something is going to mess up when it happens. May not be that first time, but eventually it's going to happen. And that's why boards have been frying and other things, because it's just a sudden stop. So I will have to see if that's the case, because if it's a matter of just having it to where the board stays on and then you guys can get power back to it and it connect back up the BAS system, then that's probably a good place to at least start. Especially if ComEd's already done things to see.
Right, we can ask them to do it again and make sure we've got clean power. Mm-hmm. And we do have some surge suppressors on the system,
right,
that protect some things. I'm not sure. We just replaced them, correct, Lisa? Those surge.
One has been replaced for this past week. One was replaced, the one in the mechanical, the one in the electrical room.
Okay.
And the second one, which is in the back, back workroom, mm-hmm, we're waiting for that one to be replaced.
Okay.
But they've both been paid for, and they're here.
We have the parts, we're just waiting for Public Works to come and do it.
Dirk did one this past week.
Can you find out from Eric what the capacity of the generator is over there, please?
Because the generator at City Hall?
Generator at City Hall.
The capacity?
Yes. Because I'm wondering if, you know, we've got some emergency lighting off of their generator, which I didn't know until this last time we lost power for an extended period of time.
Right.
Our telecommunications room is not on that generator, which it should be.
Yes.
I'm wondering, would it be valuable to us to put in our own Generac system, something like that, to get our own generator to do things like the mechanical room,
right,
and the telecom room? I don't know which would be. I don't know if it would be possible even to put the telecom room and the mechanical room on that generator.
Right.
I'm not looking to run the whole library while there's no power, but no. Those rooms are the critical rooms to keep the library going. So, you know,
even a generator, though, is going to have a response time
for
the power outage, which at least the battery backup would allow us to kick in,
right,
to keep things up and running while the generator taking time.
But it said first shut off that the equipment just goes down, right, and then it can't restart itself because of the safeties.
Power goes off, equipment shuts down, and even if you were to regain power 2 seconds later, it gets knocked off that building automation system, and that's the issue. There's never been an issue with not being able to get the equipment back started. It's always been that it's not communicating with the building automation system, and therefore it's not able to turn back on, because without it communicating to that, it's not saying it's not saying it's running, and it's not allowing it to start cooling, or whatever piece of equipment it is not allowing it to start running. So yeah, I think the best place to start would be to look to see if there is anything of a battery backup of sort to keep the VAS system online, recognizing the equipment, and then, and, you know, even if it's, I think a couple of our techs have just kind of shown what they do in order to restart the equipment. If it's a matter of that way someone from the library can at least try it, and then from there, if there's still issues, but that way we don't have to come out here, and you guys don't have to pay for the service call for us to come out.
I have been watching what they're doing, and I try to hit the buttons before I call. But on the chiller, that's too dangerous for us to even try to do that. So I'm not gonna.
Is that 480? Is that what?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I wish it was as simple as just flipping a switch or doing something, and it's just not. And
I mean, I know how to reset the boiler. You know, how to take the plate off and hit that button.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, I'll try everything before I call.
Right.
But so, Russ, I'll email Eric and I'll CC you and Darren on the email so that they respond back to everybody.
What if we were looking at a UPS type device? Is it like you would put on a server or on a PC? And if that would be the case, what kind of capacity?
I'm not as familiar as I'm as some other people, so I can get those answers for you, but I don't know as far, because I'm sure they're different for every. It's going to be bigger than something that you would put on PC, probably just because of the equipment it's on. So I'm sure there's going to be some other wiring that has to be done to it in order for it to do that. So I'll have to. We work with a couple of building automation companies, and I'm sure I can reach out to them and ask them. And
with a standard three-prong plug, we can get up to 2200 kVA.
Okay.
On a UPS, and then you got to go with a 30-amp plug.
Gotcha.
And then you can go above that.
Okay.
So, you know, it would be just a matter of what's the capacity of what we need, and,
right.
You know, when we would just need to plug to handle that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to reach out to a few building automation companies and just kind of see if they've run across it before, what they've done. I'm sure they have. I mean, it's... You guys are not the only people that are on a grid that's either overloaded or whatever is wrong with it, that every time lightning strikes, the power goes out. And some places, they have equipment that has to keep running at all times because of production and whatnot. So I'm sure they have something in place that would allow them to keep controllers running or keep it connected to that system. And it may just be something with the actual building automation system where it's not allowing it to reboot and reconnect to the equipment, because really, if you shut off power to a building, your building automation system shouldn't have to be reconfigured in order to recognize all your equipment again. It's kind of like your computer. You know, you turn it back on, you don't have to do, you know, you don't have to go through and set it up again. It should just kind of recognize. So I don't know, maybe it's something with that system, but I think I guess once I ask, you know, whichever company I go to, they'll probably ask me some other questions about it, and maybe it's something to where we need to bring them out or something and have them really kind of look at the system. Have you guys had anyone look at your building automation system recently?
No.
Okay.
Other than what you guys do.
And Mark, he's good with controls, but he's not an expert in building automation, so.
Obviously, this is not just like a PC sitting on a desk back there.
Right.
Is this a PLC system, or what kind of system is it? Is it PLC based?
I don't know. That's Mark.
Because if it's PLC based, it might have a board in there where, I mean, somebody can connect to it, you know, just through Ethernet, and you know, or have an auto load reload, which is like what we have at Fermilab. That if power goes down, if there's a glitch, there's something always saved in memory, you know, non-volatile memory that just goes directly back into it.
Right.
And
which is, I feel like, is what is missing from this system, because it's just, but then again, it's not every piece of equipment. It's only certain, so I don't know if there's just something in there that's not right. It's mostly the chiller, for the most part, sometimes the boiler, but it's mainly been that chiller. So I just don't know.
The chiller is not hooked up to the computer to even give us, alarms.
Oh, it's not?
No, the boiler, they're all hooked up to the computer.
Okay.
It's in the mechanical.
Oh, in the server room.
But the chiller is not, has never been hooked up.
Okay, so that's just the one where we've had the issue, because it's not something that you guys can
we
safely
have
restart.
Other than the fact that the building's hot and we don't hear the chiller going.
Right, okay. I believe it's that server room air handler then is the one that's been giving us issues.
Yeah.
When power goes out. Okay.
Not the main chiller?
That's a separate unit up on the roof.
Right, but that's not the one going down?
The chiller goes down.
Yeah.
That's in the back of the building.
That's the big unit in the back that Dixie was playing with the 48.
I mean, those are usually the harder ones to restart.
Yeah.
For the chillers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is because it's not just a flip of a switch. There's things that have to be done inside of it. I mean, it's sometimes a couple hours just to restart it, or to start it up for that matter. You know, when you start it up for the season, it takes some time. But really, I think the last time that you guys had power outage, now that I'm thinking about it, it wasn't the chiller that gave us the issues. It was that server room air handler that was the one that was not connecting back up to it. And that was the one. But the chiller is just one of those where we have to come out here to start it back up because of the
48. What we didn't realize, I didn't realize, was that we had to call you to come and turn the chiller on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hot, a couple of days early. And that was turn the chiller on was part of the PM.
Right.
Which I'll know for the next time that we...
Yeah, because it...
Come out and turn the chiller on.
Right, because I remember I reached out to set the PM, but I don't think you guys were here yet, or I can't remember what the case was. And then 2 days before we were scheduled to come out and do the PMs, I think you guys had come back in and it was real hot. And so, that's always part of obviously your boilers run year-round, so there's no startup and no shutdown for those. But for the chiller, it only runs during the hot season, so it's, shut down at the end of the season and started back up before. So
is that automatic that you'll come and turn it off?
In our PMs, yeah.
So it wouldn't be until January, yeah.
That's just when the next one would be for our scheduling, but it always depends on the weather. Like this year we're supposed to get cold pretty quick, so we're going to, a lot of our PM contracts, the months are moving up because, people need cooling beforehand. So, we can do the PMs whenever we need to. We're in that PM contract, it's not set, you have to do them in June and you have to do them in January. It's always dependent on when you guys want your equipment on and when you want the other ones turned on.
So with you set our contracts up though.
So what I mean by that is obviously you guys we're still giving you that 125 rate and we're still, we'll come out here and service you guys. It's just for the PMs where the next time it comes around in that 6 months, we're not just going to call and schedule it because we're not under an agreement for that. Which I don't see any reason with us keeping the agreement the same pricing-wise and whatnot because there's been no issues there. The only thing that we wanted to try and work out with you guys was just if there's a way for us to get in earlier to do PMs. I don't know if there's an access code or a key that we can use because when we start at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, our guys start at 7. So we either have to find them something for 2 hours or they sit around, and then sometimes the way it works in our world is, we get an emergency where someone's equipment is down, they absolutely need it up, and then now we're scrambling and we have to reschedule things. So if we were able to get people in the building earlier, we'd be able to...
Well, I have the cleaning people here from 5 a.m. to 8.
Okay.
Just to let someone in, but
okay.
I would have to know in advance.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll obviously schedule it all. If we can start at 7 or 7:30, that would be great. That's just normal time for our guys. And that way, Mark, he lives in Yorkville, so he can actually just come here first thing rather than having to go to another call and come back. Because, we could say this other customer service call take 2 hours and then we find other things. And we can't just leave with equipment not running. So then it pushes back our PM times, and then we're out here another day.
Yeah, as long as we know in advance, I can arrange that.
Okay, that'd be great. But yeah, other than that, I don't see an issue with keeping our contract rates and everything the same.
Well, I think we would prefer to have a a contract go before the board and have it approved.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
So if we can get that for the October board meeting.
Yeah. I wanted to obviously sit down before I just send a new contract and assume that we're going to work with you guys again. I wanted to just get your thoughts on it and see. Because like I said, anytime that you work with a new contractor, there's always going to be a learning curve with figuring out how we do things and us figuring out how you guys do things. So I just wanted to make sure that if there was something we needed to switch or add to our PMs or whatever it may be, something that you guys wish you would see us doing that we're not, I wanted to know that up front. So that we can include that.
Well, I'll chime in.
Okay.
My concern is that I've been trying to ask for the same person to come out, which is Mark, because every time somebody else comes out, they don't know what was done, and they're on the phone calling Mark or whoever it is. So my concern was that we had a number of issues where someone would come out, and, for example, the box, there was some wiring with that. And he did something, and it came back on, and then the next day it was off. And then it came back out again, and couldn't really pinpoint what it was. And so we're paying the $250 each time it's coming out, and it's not fixed. Mm-hmm. So I think you waived some of those. But it's like, if we're asking you to come out, we want it fixed.
Yeah, and obviously... our guys, when they come out, they'll troubleshoot something and they'll try something, and if it works, they don't just leave right then and there. They'll see, make sure it's still working. But then sometimes we do leave and an issue comes up again where it starts. So it's very hard. I mean, I wish there was a way for us to plug something in. It tells us everything that's wrong with the equipment and we can kind of go through it. It just doesn't always work that way. And obviously we understand as the customer, it's hard to pay for that when, you know, you're, like you said, calling someone out and you want it to be fixed. So that's why there were a few that I waived, and obviously these other invoices I'm going to be looking through, because...
I'm sitting on three invoices that I didn't pay. So, I mean, what we need to pay, we'll pay, but whatever we can get waived, we'd appreciate it being waived.
Of course. Yeah, and as far as Mark coming out here every time, we try and send Mark. Obviously, that it's helpful for us, too, to send the same technician out every time because he's very familiar. He knows what he did last time. It just doesn't always work that way with scheduling. But I think a way for us to do that is to just get ahead of the schedule and lock down a date for PMs to where we can have Mark out here every time. And then as far as service, it's very hard to just say that we'll have someone available right when you call. But we try and free Mark up. But Mark is our senior technician, so he has many customers who all request Mark. So sometimes it's not possible. But obviously, you know, they communicate with Mark. They make sure they know what's going on.
But
so,
is this because of the age of our equipment that things are...
It's hard to tell. Obviously, it's a mechanical piece of equipment. It's moving parts, and things are going to break. It is older equipment, so that... is a factor, always. With the chiller, I don't think that chiller was ever installed correctly or the proper way it should have been, and I think that's why there are some issues with it. And just kind of conversations with Mark, it's you know, he says, you know, the equipment's older, and I think this year we had a couple calls because we had clean coils, which you guys are not the only people that have had multiple visits for coil clean just because it's...
Well, we spent almost $5,000 last year to have the screens put on, which has helped with the cottonwood. Mm-hmm. But your technician was wonderful. He spent, I think, 4 hours out there cleaning the coils. The cottonwood came up from underneath the chiller.
Right.
We also got rid of some trees, too, didn't we, in that time frame? I thought we got rid of some.
Not the ones over here. No.
We're talking about getting rid of some back here, but that's never been done. We may have to talk to our landscaper about doing that.
Okay.
Is there, we're looking at probably $300,000 to $500,000 to replace the equipment. Yeah. Do you ever foresee a need that would be something we would have, because we would have to do a referendum to do that.
Of course.
Because that would eat our whole budget just to do that. We have to send everybody home, close the doors, and replace the HVAC system.
I don't I don't necessarily see it as there needs to be a total overhaul of the equipment, but I do think that there are a few pieces of equipment that we may need to look into replacing. I don't want to say that that chiller needs to be replaced. I just don't think it was ever properly installed, and it's very hard for us to come out and know exactly what's wrong with it because we weren't the ones to install it.
Right.
So there's just there's a lot of moving parts with it. There's a lot of things that, you know, if we were talking about equipment that we installed and was fairly new, then yeah, multiple visits is kind of like, okay, what are these guys doing out here? But because, you know, I mean, take the boiler, for example. When we came out, we did a PM on it. We found tubes that were just destroyed in there. I mean, we found, gas valves that were shut off. We found electrical components that were burned and just were never taken care of. And I'm not knocking any other contractor that was out here, but that's just kind of the stuff that we find. And it's like, we don't know what's been done to this equipment in the past to take care of it, because you can get many years out of a piece of equipment if it's taken care of properly. But I don't think that chiller was ever installed properly, and I'm not sure how much it will cost to replace that chiller. But as far as like an overhaul of your equipment and you know, shutting the building down and doing all that, I don't know if that's completely necessary. But I think that looking at the BAS system, getting that taken care of will help you guys a lot. And then maybe on the next PM, if you guys decide to keep with us, we put a little bit more time in there to kind of go over the equipment and see which ones we should replace or we would recommend to replace. That way you guys will then have an idea of which ones maybe need replacement, and we can quote from there, and then you guys can take it in pieces, I guess.
Yeah, prioritizing what needs to be done first would be great.
Yes. And we always recommend, you know, on our PMs, we always go through our recommended work, and we make sure that we're taking care of everything. And lately on, like, service calls, we'll be finding other things that are kind of going on with it, too, and we've been working with Elisa to get those replaced. So I think since the last, the biggest issue we've had is just the power outage. Other than that, things are running pretty smooth for a while. We came out, we did our PM, we found some issues with boiler, we got them taken care of. And we really didn't hear from you guys much after that, and then it came time to do
every week.
It came time to do the PMs, and then everything just kind of started. It was like every week, yeah.
Well, we wanted you to come out and talk to the committee because, you know, the board, every month they see all these bills, and they're questioning, like, what's going on.
Right.
But it's not any different than we had the other companies that we have bills from Trico too.
Do we have a log of the history of the building, like each year, or what service was done to the equipment? And same with
the
power outages too. I'd be curious if this is, and I've only been here a couple of years, if this is more recent, or if there were always power outages.
I've only been here 3 years and we've had.
Since I've been on the board, we've always had issues.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have.
That's 4 years.
Right. 3 years. Where I got the $500,000 or $300,000, I had some direct contact with Dick and Applied.
Okay.
I had a contact over there that we were looking at. Actually, they were the only ones that were coming out to service the chiller.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him one time, I said, what would it cost to replace that unit? And he said, about $250. Mm. So.
Just the chiller?
Just the chiller.
That seems steep, but I guess, I mean, I would have to pull pricing on replacements for that, because I could see if you were having to repipe a chiller and do all that, but just to replace a unit, a like-for-like unit.
Yeah.
I mean, the electricals run to it, the piping's run to it.
Right.
You know, there's not much more than just a piece of equipment.
Right.
Which, $250 for that size of a chiller, obviously I've voted $250,000 chillers, but they're a lot bigger than that chiller. So, if that's something you guys are interested in, I'm going to have a model to you on a little bit.
We'd be interested, except the fact that we don't have money for it.
Right.
And it would have to go out to bid anyway.
Sure.
If we're going to do that.
I think prioritizing what needs to be done, if we can attack the individual needs.
Right.
I don't think we have any redundancy in our system, though.
No.
Just your boilers.
Yeah.
So we had two boilers?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, if they both went down, we're in trouble. Chiller goes down, we're in trouble.
Right.
So we don't have the luxury of having a backup.
But the boiler, if one goes down, the other one's still working.
Right.
Right, but
the chiller.
My point is we don't have a second heating system. We have boilers and that's it. We don't have heat pumps or anything like that to supplement. So, mm-hmm. you know, and it seemed like one boiler was bad, pretty bad, so.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But they've been working well. I mean,
but if you guys have been replacing parts, maybe those are in decent shape. Mm-hmm. Look at the chiller, you know, pumps are a little easier to swap out.
Sure.
You know, the BAS system is as old as the building.
Right.
So, you know, that's starting to get dated too. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what the software and that.
Yeah, 12 years.
So. Yeah, and I mean, if no one's really been out here to update it technology changes rapidly. So, I mean, sometimes a lot of these parts for different equipment or even the BAS system, they may just be antiquated and they don't even make them anymore. So, I mean, I think that obviously we are not just here to come out on service calls and send invoices and get money. That's not. We're here because we've been doing this for almost 100 years because we build relationships with our customers and we help you guys out because obviously you using us for service helps us out. So, I mean, it's just a matter of if you guys want to, we can go through the equipment and we can give it a good run through. I may be able to talk to Mark and say, hey, Mark, is there any equipment that needs to be replaced? And he could probably tell me off the top of his head, yeah, you know, this unit.
Yeah.
And we can get a list together and start tacking it one by one rather than a big chunk. And that way it's not, you know, a huge ordeal. It's more just taking steps to get it. Because I don't know if that's ever something that's been done in the past here or not.
No.
But as far as prior maintenance and service and whatnot, I don't know what Trico was doing or any other company that was here before, but just from what we saw when we came out, it was the boilers especially were just very poorly taken care of. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much longer they would have run with those burners. We pulled them out and they just fell apart on us.
No, so. I saw that.
So,
they were just carbon steel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, we just, I mean, we replaced, I can't remember how many, I think it was close to 20 of them, I think, between the two boilers. And then we gave it a good clean, and we're replacing a gas actuator valve, which is not part of the boiler, it's mm-hmm. part of the system, but it's not the boiler. And so it's just a little stuff like that. We haven't had to recommend a replacement of any equipment after troubleshooting it to where sometimes we run across that where, oh, this equipment just needs to be replaced. So that, I mean, that's good. So I think what we could do is, one, look at the BAS system, look at the battery, see if that's a possibility, and then start getting a list together of replacements and what's needed and a timeline of when we can estimate them needing to be replaced and start going at it that way. And I think that would just be kind of the easiest way and the best way and the most economical way of doing it. Because you may have equipment that's still in really good shape, and it's just...
It just needs some TLC.
Right.
Kevin, you said Mark thought the chiller was installed incorrectly. Was that a piping issue, or...?
I don't know exactly. I don't think it was a piping issue, but it very well could have been. It wasn't just Mark, actually. It was actually Mark and then Paul, who's another one of our senior techs. He came out here, and he was the one who actually had to start up the chiller when it was really hot out. And he said that the chiller was not installed properly. And then Levi, who's been out here a few times, he's mentioned that too. So it's just, it's one of those things where it's hard to tell exactly what wasn't installed properly, but I think these guys, as they've been doing it for 20 plus years, they can just look at something and go, that's not right. You know, that wasn't installed properly. So I'll have to ask Mark and get a kind of a detailed report on that chiller, exactly what, maybe it's something that we can fix pumping-wise.
Yeah.
And just take care of it that way.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, the drawings are going to show where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
They generally have some kind of piping diagram.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
You know,
how bad people mess
up. No, I deal with it too. But
yeah. So
I think if you could narrow that down,
sure.
and maybe they could give a recommendation. Well, I would have done this, and you know, it may be, you know, a $10,000 issue, something like that. Just you know, reconfiguring the piping or something, but or a different type of valve, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I'll have to ask Mark and Paul also, kind of what they suggest, and because I think right now the best we can do is just keeping it clean and you know doing it. I mean, doing that much, but as far as anything else with it, without spending a good amount of money, it's going to be hard to just do it in a PM visit. So, that's what we're doing, and we did send Omar out, and he showed me those pictures. He did a great job cleaning it and everything. It looked really nice after that. I gave him a good kudos for that. So, and going forward, as our company is, and COVID has changed our company drastically. I mean, I've become inundated with a lot of things that I never thought I would have to deal with, but because people leaving our office and whatnot, and it's just, we've taken more tasks. And so we've kind of taken a step back, and we're starting with our PMs, and we're going to start sending more detailed reports out, PM checklists, so that you guys can look at each piece of equipment and say, okay, this is exactly what they did on each one. And Mark is very good with taking pictures, so I mean, he's been doing this a long time, so he's really good at that, and just really giving you guys a really detailed report on PMs, so that you guys know the bulk of what we do out here, because obviously we do service calls, but majority of our work has been PMs. So, if you guys decide to go with us for the next year, I'm going to start doing that for you guys better. We send some reports, but they're not anything like what we're doing now. So,
but are your contracts usually for 1 year?
We can do them for longer. So our contracts, we usually stick between 1 and 3 years. Sometimes we have 5-year contracts, but our contracts are never to where you guys are locked into it. So we could set up a, for example, a 3-year contract, and the pricing would, at that point, it would maybe fluctuate just because we kind of have to protect ourselves too, because these guys in the union, they get a raise every 6 months, it seems like. I mean, so we may adjust the pricing on the contract, but it's not, you know, if our labor rate goes up $2 each year on the contract, that's not to say that we revisit after that first or the second year, I guess, at that point and say, no, you know, we can adjust this contract and go back down to the labor rate, whatever it might be. So we can set up a 3-year contract or a 5-year contract or just a 2-year if that's what you guys are interested in. And then each year we just sit down and we say, okay, here's what the amount was, here's what we did, and then we just kind of take it from there. But that way at least you guys have pricing that's locked in from a contract standpoint. You guys are not locked in, and you guys can come and go as you want. But we're able to give you pricing that you guys can then budget out better and say, if we stuck with this contract, here's our preventative maintenance budget.
Okay. I think originally you did give us a quote for a 3-year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the board decided we try to go out on a 1-year and
right.
See how things work out.
Which we understand. I mean, that's
yeah.
Very understandable. So if that's kind of the way, I can still submit a 1-year and I can submit a 3-year.
That would be great. Yeah.
And that way you guys at least know.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could have it for the second Monday in October?
Second Monday in October, okay.
Would be for the second Monday. Maybe the first Monday in October. So
okay.
You have the board packet.
Sure.
So Lisa has mentioned that she's seen how to reset the boilers.
Mm-hmm.
It would be good, I think, if we had a procedure down of how to do this, just so that, you know, maybe Lisa's not in Dixie's here, that, just follow the procedure.
Well, Dixie watches me. I show her what I'm
doing.
What
about videotaping the person doing it, and they could kind of explain it?
Well, the main thing is the chiller, and nobody's going to touch
that's,
that.
I mean, that's normally how you would do training.
Yeah.
They should have done left training videos. However, usually the startup tech would do it. Someone would videotape it, and along with the instructions or you know the manual.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of companies, you know, they'll print out a sheet and laminate it, stick it right to the piece of equipment that goes through step by step of what to do. And like I said, I mean, we're here to work with you guys, and whatever makes your guys' lives easier, I mean, I'm willing to help you guys out with that. So
some of this stuff I don't feel comfortable even touching.
And that's understandable. I don't want to touch it either. So.
I mean, I can look and see if there's a default, whether it's on or not. But for example, there was, I can't remember what piece of equipment, the light wasn't on. And so Mark looked at it and he said, well, the light's not on, but it's on. It's working. Mm-hmm. I said, why isn't the light on? He says, the bulb's probably burnt down.
Yep.
If it's the older style, yeah.
What?
If it's older style, non-LED, yes, they burn out.
Yeah.
But our main thing is the red light that's out by the circ desk. Whenever that's on, it's an alarm that something's not working right.
Right, and then we have to go into the controller and see
and
what it's saying.
And that's when I call when the light's on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously I think there's improvements that we can make and make it a better experience for you guys.
I know how to get into the computer and see where all the alarms are. So, I mean, to say, you know, where the temperature, you know, everything's set, I think, for 72 or 73, and I can adjust the temperatures.
Okay.
Well, a prioritized list definitely would be helpful for us so we know what to attack also. And then also a 1 and a 3 year contract proposal.
Yep, and then I will also talk to some building automation companies about battery backup and whatnot. So I mean I have a list of, you know, what you guys are looking for. If anything else comes up, obviously just call me or email me, whatever it might be. I can
I have to say you've been wonderful to deal with.
Well, thank you.
This whole past year.
And I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I think this year it's haven't been the best account executive for everybody, but I don't think everybody's been normal this year. So we're finally getting back to. I mean, we've been blessed to be busy, so that's a good thing. And so we're just trying to. We want to keep you guys happy, and we obviously want to keep working with you guys. So whatever we need to do, let us know, and if we need to. You know, restart procedures put together, whatever it might be, we can do that. And maybe that's something where I just come out on the next PM if you guys decide to keep going, and I just kind of sit there with them and, okay, show me what you do, and we can write it down and type it out, whatever it might be. Or videos, as he suggested, just whatever's easiest for you guys. So.
Okay, great.
Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Kevin.
Just this door here.
Yeah.
All right, you guys have a great one.
You too.
Maybe too.
Okay, we've been dealing with this water discoloration for a while too.
Patrons are starting to complain again because the water upstairs in the men's room is black. So we put signs up that says, you know, pardon us, but the water is. Please use the cold water, not the hot water. The city came out and checked everything, and they don't. They said it's partly because the water isn't
being used
enough. And then I had a plumber come out and check everything, and he said the same thing. So, I mean, I'll just have to let the maintenance people in the morning just run it every, you know, morning. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've been doing that.
And it's on the cold water, not the hot water?
It's the hot water.
The hot water.
It's the hot water. This seems like the iron mineral issue that's all throughout the state, where when you have hot water and all of a sudden it goes through a thermal process and it gets really cold, all of a sudden you can see almost like a blackness in the water. It's almost like ink sometimes.
But it goes away after you run it. I mean, it's right when you turn it
on. Yeah,
I
had this happen one time. We had a line mix, though.
Marjorie O'Neill worked on the hot water heater.
Yeah, they thought it was a hot water heater, and they replaced something in the hot water.
They replaced the anode?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Well, but did they think, Because I put on these, you add it to a sink, it's called like a hard stop or something, but basically it's a like a quarter inch copper line. You can shut it off, but normally it just stays on like a low, almost like in the winter time.
It's your, drip?
It, a little bit more than a drip.
Trickle.
Like a trickle, there you go. But, you know, I don't want to say it, but I had lead water, lead coming up in the school on a renovation, and that's what we did just to keep the water flowing constantly because we thought maybe it was settling in the old pipes. So
this building and the old building, sure, the new building should all be copper. Unless they use
lead. Well, I'm not suggesting lead, I'm just saying as a way to
just run the water.
So that runs all the time.
Yeah.
The only risk is if someone decides to throw paper towels in the sink and someone doesn't see it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted you to be aware of it. I mean, it's, I don't know what the answer is other than just constant.
That's the only answer.
Yeah, I mean, run the water.
And you won't know until you try that.
Yeah.
So
when they run it in the morning, they have to run it for an hour or so?
No, they should be running it for about 15, 20 minutes, but I don't think they've been doing that. Staff upstairs, when they would come in, we'd turn the water on, you know, in the kitchen and bathrooms, and so let it run for 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But lately, it's just been really bad to the point where, you know, people are complaining about it again. I just want you to be aware of it for the board, that if patron contacts the board member, that...
Is it black or brown?
I think they
said
it was
black.
Almost like a Coke.
What?
Like
something, Coke. Oh, okay. Okay. Are there any other things that we can try with this, other than we would just run the water or try to get...
That's what it was.
But it's every day, so if you flush it every morning, the next day it'll still do it.
I don't know.
It'd be nice to find a pattern.
Yeah, I think that we don't have enough information.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me remind the maintenance people
that
they should be doing
this. Keep track of what time they do it, how long, like which fixture they run. Because I think if it was done every day and then the next week it got better, then maybe there's something to it. But
right. The water fountains have the same thing? Just because it's cold.
Yeah. They're shut off right now anyway.
Unless that rod is rotting away again, that's why it's there, is to rot away.
Right. The last time it was replaced was how many years ago?
I want to say maybe one or two, and that was the first time it was replaced.
What was replaced?
There's a rod in the water heater. There's one in your home water heater as well.
Yeah, is that what was replaced?
Yeah.
Yeah, they came out and replaced that.
Was it
Trico? No.
R.J. O'Neill did it. So it was good within the last year that they did that.
And that didn't help.
No. Well, it needed to be done anyway.
So maybe that's not the issue then. It's something else that's causing it. Okay.
Magnesium.
Okay, the next thing is... Dixie is in charge of giving staff members the key fob to get into the building. And right now she's just recycling older staff members that have left, giving those fobs to new staff. Russ and Jason came over and tried to work in the telecom or on the system. But it's running on an old Windows.
It's an old XP machine.
And so
it's not connected to the internet, so it really don't matter.
So Dixie said she tried to go in
after you were here with Jason, and she just get an error message, she can't get in. So at some point, I know that Sound Incorporated gave me a proposal to update the cameras, which we didn't do, but the key fobs are not tied into Sound Incorporated. It's got to be something with the securities. It's not even ADT, alarm detection.
No,
it was another company, which I think
was that was all separate. I'm not sure. I think it was all together with the posts that were up there that aren't working anymore.
Oh, the security.
The security posts. That were supposed to, you know, they would detect when somebody's walking out without with
yeah,
a board
they don't work.
That wasn't checked out. They don't. They haven't worked for many years.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have the strips in the books anyway.
No, we don't, because people were stripping the RFID tags out of the books.
Yeah.
I can look at it again.
That's crazy.
Can you?
Yeah.
But wouldn't the system need to be upgraded? The PC need to be updated?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So can we see what we can do to so we can get key fobs that work for new staff members coming in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll let Dixie know?
Yeah, probably, let's see, I can't do it tomorrow, can't do it Saturday, probably not till next week.
That's fine.
Yeah. I can come in and look at that computer
okay.
again. Because there's the camera system up above, there's a Dell PC sitting here that's dead. Communications, which was the old video recorder that died 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
That's how we ended up with the recorders that we have up top. And then the PC for the key fobs is basically the last one in the rack.
Okay.
It's a regular PC. I think it's still an HP. But it's possible that the I believe it's also on KVM switch number 4. We'll have to redo all that. Yeah, the one that's in the middle will not move because the hard drive is dead.
Okay.
It should be unplugged.
So and whatever we need to upgrade upstairs?
Well, the problem is to upgrade that PC there, we would into like a Windows 10 machine. We have to get key fob software that tied into the security system that runs on Windows 10, and I'm not sure that I wouldn't even know who to contact about that.
Was the other company out of business?
Yep.
Okay.
That's why we never did. Plus the fact that it was $300,000 or something astronomical to fix the standards that were there. Yeah, they went out of business.
So can we? So does this system also have the cameras? It also has the cameras coming into it. Is that correct? No.
That's so totally separate.
So that is the camera system is through Sound Incorporated.
Correct.
Okay.
So
they
don't even do key fobs. Right. Key fobs. All they do is unlock the doors.
Right. So key fob wise, is there a security company that we can start researching security companies so we can?
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure the alarm detection system probably has.
Mm-hmm.
Like entry,
yeah, it would be a car keyless entry system.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's by a code, touchpad, mm-hmm. fingerprint, retina scan, DNA scan.
DNA scan.
Well, do you want to come and take a look, and then maybe I can.
Yeah.
I can
take a look at
alarm
it.
Alarm detection and see if we can get a proposal.
I think we need to get proposals and see. Because the system, obviously, there's issues.
Yeah.
I think we just need to start getting proposals for this. We start looking into it, and then we can look at our budget and see what, take it to the board.
At some point, we need to look at the phone system.
Yeah.
Well, so with the key fobs, what needs to be replaced?
The system that I don't know that no, it's not. They don't program the key fobs; they just assign a fob. I think they are connected to the sensors at the doors, so they can tell which key fob opened the door, so you can run a report that says
who it is.
Who was here.
Who was here and what time.
Okay.
But other than that, that's all they do is they say, is this a valid key fob, which pretty much all of them are. It just depends on who it's been assigned to, and who opened the door. So that's pretty much all they do. That was all put in by the same company that did all the posts that are by the doors. They went out of business probably 3 years after the building opened.
Yeah, I think we just need to start looking into this. Because this isn't going to last much longer.
No.
So we should get this, get a couple companies to look at it, give us an offer, these quotes. Okay. So when you said key fobs and security system, you're just talking about the actual doors. The security system is something
separate. Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is what Russ said was keyless entry.
Keyless entry. Yeah. Okay.
But that actually unlocks the door too.
It unlocks the door. It doesn't shut off the alarm.
There are
systems that can do both.
Yeah, but there's still keys that have to be used in the library to open doors.
So the access control is only at the outside doors?
Outside doors.
and some of the indoors.
Because those would have to be...
It seems that that should all really be incorporated with the alarm detection system. It should be all one package.
Well, the keyless is to get into the building from the back, and also to come into my office is the
back hallway.
Back offices. Those are only...
Don't the stairways have the fob?
Uh-uh.
No? To bypass the alarm? Is there an alarm that goes off when you go down the stairs? No.
Yeah. Only the back door, and then the executive offices, and that's it. Because everything else, you have to use the key to get into the mechanical rooms, to the manager's offices. So you're only talking about two doors.
No, four doors. Two outside, two inside.
What do you mean two outside, two inside?
The one on this side and the one on that side. We're on that back end. There's two doors there. One by the alarm panel. And then the other one, the first one.
Oh, the two out.
Yeah, the two outside doors.
Two outside doors.
The far end, but over there. Yeah. I don't think this one has one.
That's a key.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be able to get this by Monday. It'll probably be the next board meeting.
Okay. I think we have a plan at least how we want to try and attack this.
And I gave him three invoices that I didn't pay.
Okay.
He did make one go away because that was one of the ones where they came out and they didn't really fix it. The next day they had to come back out. I wasn't going to pay the $250 for that first. So he did delete that one.
Okay.
So as soon as they go through and decide what they're going to waive, then I'll pay the cost.
Well, I think that's it. So,
see everybody Monday night.
We're
Be back.